portions. So God is good. You have a Bible today? I hope you do, because I'm watching the time, so you don't have to. But we're going to give you your money's worth today, because I know that your time is valuable. Listen, I am passionate about preparing you for battle. In case you don't know it yet, let me remind you, there's a battle going on. Yes. We're in a war. Amen. And we are soldiers of the Lord in this battle. Now, don't get concerned. You know, we're not going to be handling, well, I hope we're not going to be handling physical weapons of warfare. But I want you to be aware of the spiritual weapons of warfare that we have going for us. You know, Elihana, when you were singing that song, you know, Hosanna, you know, we often say it Hosanna, but it means, you know, Lord, save us now. And, you know, every Christmas Eve, I take caroling, groups of carolers into all the bars in town. We have four teams, one for the east, north, west, and south. We cover all the bars that are open on Christmas Eve. Well, the last few years in my group, I've brought a shofar player, and we open up, you know, we sing Christmas carols in the bars, and then we lay hands on and pray for everybody in the bar. It's allowed on Christmas Eve because, after all, Christmas is a religious holiday, you know. So, what I've been doing is we go into the bar, and the first thing we do is we blow the shofar. And I tell everybody, now, after we blow, the shofar is blowing, everybody's got to shout, Hosanna! So we do. Everybody shouts Hosanna. And so we got done doing that with one bar, and a guy comes up to me and says, what does Hosanna mean? I said, it means, Lord, save us now. He said, oh. Just wondered. We're making that declaration. But that's a weapon of warfare we have. In Acts chapter 4, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You know, the world celebrates boldness. Most of the people that we're watching on television that are laughing all the way to the bank, you know, they got there because of their boldness. You know, like them or not, you know, what they're bold for. But it's boldness. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up and say, we believe in this strong enough to where we're going to make our voices heard. And we don't have to be arrogant, but we can be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, but we need to be that people that are like men of Issachar, that know the times and know how important it is for the body of Christ to rise up. Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And I just believe that this spiritual awakening that we're praying for is happening on the heels of the body of Christ refusing to be complacent and hungering and thirsting for this righteousness and this revival and awakening that God has promised. So turn your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Now, I'm not going to be preaching today the armor of God, but that's what our children are going to learn all week long, and it's very well organized so that they can learn something. And we're helping children to know that there's a battle raging. I mean, when there's legislation on the table trying to get have the ability for teachers to teach sexuality and gender, you know, confusion in first, second, third grade classrooms, we know there's a battle going on. And our children need to know how to fight that battle. And we don't fight it by being silent, you know. We fight it by speaking up, by knowing what the truth is and saying something. So I believe that there's a silent majority that is rising up in this last day. So this scripture, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But some years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night with that being spoken in an audible voice. It startled me. I woke up, I'm laying in bed. I woke up, my eyes shot open. I heard this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My eyes shot open. I saw a big 300 on my ceiling. It was my projector clock telling me that it was 3 o'clock in the morning. But that meant something to me because it's a good number. And I thought, this must be God. So I got up, I opened my Bible. I knew it was in Ephesians 6, and I looked it up, Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And for the next 33 minutes, God began to download some things on into my spirit that we made happen. The Lord said that this whole passage, he gave me 9 verses there that I read, and he said this was about his divine protection and his provision for his people. And God instructed me to create a secret place, a prayer room that would be 24/7. And we did. And it's just beyond that wall there. It's got an outside door. You can come here anytime, day or night, 24/7. And there's everything that you need in there, you know, to get into the presence of God. But he also talked to me about this spiritual armor and spiritual covering that we have. And that Christian retreat was to be a place like a city of refuge in the time of storm. And that the time was coming, you know, that this place would be used by God in a greater way because we were prepared for the last days. Well, buckle your seatbelt, church, because we're there. We're there. And you can't stop it. You can't change it. What you can do is you can change you so that you're better prepared for it. And I want to help you be prepared for it. The next verse says, put on the whole armor of God. Say it with me, put on. Put on. It becomes a choice for us. You know, David, when he showed up at the battlefront and saw Goliath, there was a whole army of Israel that was trained for battle, but nobody was putting it on. Nobody saw with eyes of faith what was happening here. But David did. The first thing out of David's mouth when he saw the scene, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Church, that's how I feel about some of the nonsense that's going on in this Christian nation. I'm still declaring this nation was originally set aside for Christians. Not as just a place for all religions to have freedom, but a Christian nation for a place for all religions to worship freely. And that dedication, I believe, means something to God. And I'm not willing to give it up. I want to possess it. I want to take it back, whatever we've lost. And for instance, right now with this Roe versus Wade issue that's in the hands of the Supreme Court, and we believe they're going to come out and say, no, no longer are we going to recognize this at the federal level in America. Church, I believe that's going to get God's attention. It might return some of the favor that we once had in our government at the federal level. Now, unlike what the left has been saying, it's not going to take abortion out of America. It's just going to put it in the hands of the states at the state level. But let me tell you what's going to happen next. Some states like Florida, God bless our governor, are going to outlaw abortion. And other states are going to follow. And here's what's going to happen. Those states are going to be blessed by God. And the states that want to create that business for those abortion mills, they're going to end up dropping economically. We know they're going to drop in numbers. I hope we have more room in Florida for people that are leaving New York. But what I think we're going to see is more of a separation between light and darkness. And God's going to show his blessing upon people that will just honor him in these areas. Listen, I can't change a lot of things in our government system, but I believe that those of us that know what's on the heart of God, that we have to have an opinion and we have to make it known. Nothing's going to happen. Bad things happen when good people do nothing. So I'm telling you, the battle is raging, and it's time for men and women of God who know their God to be strong and be prepared to do exploits. Amen? Amen? So, okay, I don't have time to preach here today. I'm going to deliver this word to you. Let's look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Oh, put on the whole armor of God, it says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Now, the next verse talks about some of those. Verse 12, and this is as far as I'm going to go in this passage. And then this week, your children are going to learn about the armor of God, which follows. But it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me break this down. We wrestle. Let's start there. We wrestle. I know a little bit about wrestling because I was a wrestler in high school and in college, okay? And I know that you've got to be in shape to do that because there's no timeouts. You engage the enemy. Listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't take weekends off. He kicks you when you're down. He attacks you when you're weak. He doesn't fight fair. But we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Loving not our lives even unto death. Revelation 12:11. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a physical battle. So we're not promoting guns and swords and all that. Although Jesus did tell the disciples, he said, it's going to get worse. It's time to sell your purse and buy a sword.
That's right. That's,
what? That's in the Bible, right? Not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And that's what we're teaching the children today. I want to teach you how to fight with your faith. It says it's against principalities. What's a principality? Well, we know what a municipality is. It's a government system. Do you know the devil's got a government system? That he's got some numbers of demon angels? We remember in in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, Daniel was praying, and God sent him the answer right away. Remember, Daniel's a praying man, always on his knees. He got in trouble for it. But he was praying, and he found out later that the reason he didn't get his answer right away, in fact, his answer from heaven was delayed 21 days because the prince of Persia, now he was in Persia, there was a demonic prince over that region, over that territory. In Persia, the prince of Persia was doing battle in the heavenlies with the angels that were on their way, and God had to send back up to win that battle and then get the answer through to Daniel. Let me tell you something, church. If our spiritual eyes could truly be opened, wouldn't it be great to see that battle, that warfare in the heavenlies, maybe just above our heads, even in the church? There's spiritual spirits. We're going to get to that. But I want you to see this. We wrestle against powers. The devil has power. He's got wonder-working power. It's where we get our word dunamis. The devil has that, but he doesn't have authority. His authority is limited. So Luke 10:19 is familiar with you. It says, behold, Jesus said, I give you authority. There's the Greek word. Over all the power of the enemy. Now, the King James Version uses the word, I give you power over all the power. But there's two different Greek words there. So it should be translated the way I have it up here. This is the way it is in the NIV. But it's not like that in your King James. But you need to understand, God has given you authority. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I want you to give them the same authority you've given me. We have authority over the devil. Now, he doesn't want you to believe it. You know, I was reading a Gallup poll recently, and they did a study of just how many Americans believed in God or believed in the devil. And it was interesting because about 86%, maybe even as high as 95% of Americans believe there's a God. Hallelujah. That's a good start. It's not Allah, but we just got to teach them it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? But what surprised me is that high a number believe in God, but only 63% believe there's a devil. And the devil likes it that way. He doesn't want you to believe there's a devil. But we know we have authority over the devil. That's what that means, against powers. It's using that Greek word there, in the same that's used in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. And then it tells us what the strongholds are in verse 5. Thoughts and imaginations, that's where the devil works. Think about our children having to battle that battle with the enemy in their mind. Children have experiences, bad experiences, sometimes with their parents. And there's trauma, and they battle with this the rest of their life until somebody takes authority over that in the name of Jesus. And so we've got to understand what we're wrestling with against rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil still has some power, limited, but he's got power. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, I like the fact that it's God with a little g. Yeah. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. That's what we're up against. But we've got to show the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's religious spirits. Jesus said, unless your righteousness shall exceed the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Imagine people were asking the question, what? They thought the scribes and Pharisees were the highest, most religious, most spiritual, most godly people of their day. But Jesus said, no. No, they're not walking in love and forgiveness. They're judgmental. They're critical. They're heaping heavy weights upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. I want you to understand this, church, because I believe that we're living in a time where you and I need to learn how to fight with our faith. We don't need a gun. We don't need a knife. But we do need to know how to fight with your faith. We see it in 1 Timothy 6:1. But you, man of God, flee all this nonsense and pursue, read it with me, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. We're people of faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to come together and we sing and declare the Word of God and most of the songs that we are singing together. And then we hear the Word of God. And sometimes you're reading it with me. You're seeing it through your eye gate. You're hearing it through your ear gate. The Word of God, faith comes by hearing. But I'm telling you, that faith is a weapon. It's a weapon. Now, I'm going to cover more of this next week after our children get the message. But how does faith fight? You've heard me say this before, but I want you to get this in your spirit. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will rise up and give you the ability to see, to speak, and to act. Here it is. Faith sees with spiritual eyes. You can read the diagnosis from the doctor. But you want to see beyond that. You want to wrap your faith around a scripture promise and see beyond, see what God's able to do. Faith speaks with declaration. We're declaring the Word of God. Jesus said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it on your lips. Don't just tuck it away in your heart or in your mind, but be declaring it. and then faith acts. Faith does something. Let me just break it down a little bit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know, church, I predicted this in the early service. I want to tell you this too. Watch, you're going to see this. There are movies coming out now that are taking a shot at the church. They're taking a shot at us. And not just any church. Because the devil's not threatened or concerned about churches that are just going through religious motions. But he is concerned about churches that believe in the power of God. These movies are going to start calling out churches that believe in being born again.
Amen.
Jesus said you must be born again.
Amen.
There's a difference. You have to die to something. And there's a rebirth experience that makes you dangerous. And then also, Jesus said, you need this power from on high. You're going to see movies start calling out churches like this that are openly baptizing the Holy Ghost, tongue speakers. Remember last Sunday, I said, I'm unapologetically born again, tongue speaking, Pentecostal. Because Jesus was. So was his mother, the Virgin Mother Mary. She was in the upper room. They were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. I'm saying that to wake you up there, Greg. I like to pick on Greg, yeah. They're spiritually discerned. So how are we going to live our lives? We're going to live them with our faith glasses on. Our faith glasses on. Now, my grandson, Lukey, is pictured in there, and he's probably watching. So, Lukey, I raided your toy box, and Pop-Pop's got them here today. You got to put on your faith glasses. After you get that diagnosis, you're not going to get all stressed out. You're just going to go to the Word. And you're going to see your faith as something big. We walk by faith and not by fear. We walk by faith and not by feelings. We walk by faith and not by whatever it is that's burdening you down. And our faith is big. It's big. Hallelujah. I wanted you to see that. I wanted Lukey to see that. Hi, Lukey. I know he's watching. He's one of my faithful online watchers. The Bible says it's our faith that overcomes the world. So I want you to think of faith, church, as more than just a tagline for people that go to church. And rather, see it as a weapon. Because faith allows you to see beyond what you can see with natural eyes. Faith allows you to speak, and you can speak literally what you're full of. You know, I can't help but speak what I'm full of. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we fix our eyes on what is seen, and because what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Temporary means subject to change. Whatever it is that's stressing you out that you can see with your five senses, you can see or touch or feel or hear, it's temporary. Say it's temporary. You might need to say that out loud for whatever it is you're needing to overcome. That means it's subject to change. We don't know when, we don't know how, but God's bringing it to pass. Hallelujah. Faith sees. I got to go faster. Faith speaks. The word is near you and it's in your mouth. It's not just in your Bible sitting on the shelf. The word is not just tucked away in your heart and your mind, but this new last days church is about declaration. Amen. we're not even praying to God and asking Him for things anymore. You know what we're doing? We're declaring and decreeing, because God's already done what He's going to do. He needs us to believe it enough to just speak to it. And God says, don't talk to me about your problems. Talk to your problems about your God. So you can talk to that sickness and say, sickness, I declare you unauthorized to operate in the temple of the living God. You are not authorized. You're illegal. So in the name of Jesus, I'm putting the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of my vessel. I'm making Him my dwelling place, so no evil can befall me. No plague can come nigh my dwelling. He's giving His angels charge over me. You talk to the enemy like that, and he's not going to hang around. Look at this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I was saying, we're full of it. When we come to church, we get more full of it, to where it just bubbles out over the top. And we find out it's affecting how we think, how we speak, how we act. And just like David with the giant Goliath, you know, he had different eyes on when he showed up. His big brother said, you conceited little brat, who do you think you are? You know, David's looking at this and said, why doesn't somebody step up? You know, we're all believers here. You know, why are we taking this from this uncircumcised Philistine? Well, David said something else. He rallied his faith when he was approaching that giant. I like this is what he said. I put it up in the Living Bible. He said, today, somebody say today.
Today,
today the Lord will conquer you. Not I will conquer you. Today the Lord will conquer you. The battle is the Lord's. Church, when we get to the point where we believe that and we speak that and we think that way, then we're not limited to just what we feel we can handle. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the animals. You know, I mean, he was just laying it out there, right? He was having fun. But this is what I underscored. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. I'm going to say the whole world will know that there's a God in America. There's a God in Israel. You know, when we go to Israel, we often get to hang out with some of the IDF, you know, these young people, you know, that are all around, and we get to chat with them. And you know what they like to chat about is the miracles that happen when Israel goes into battle. You know, you put up some of the headlines of some of the things where the enemy, you know, they see other warriors out there. They believe that God is somehow intervening, and He is. Hallelujah. Well, God wants to do this in our midst in these last days, church, so that America knows, and inquiring minds want to know, is there a God that's still at work on the earth today? Allow Him to be at work in your life. Allow Him to be at work in your realm of influence. And then act on that. Use that as an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. Because this is why God wants to help you win your battles, is to show His glory to the world around you. Tim, God wants you to have that miracle of healing, of that cancer that the doctor says is in your body. And because that's going to launch your ministry. That's going to launch your ministry. And you've been waiting for that. So sometimes, it seems like things have to get worse before they're going to get better. Faith acts. Do something. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. Works means acts or action or obedience. This is how you fight with your faith. And miracles happen through faith that fights. Let me just remind you of a few stories here in the Bible. The woman of Cana, the Canaanite woman, who came to Jesus wanting His response and help for her daughter that was demonized. Maybe for days she was following the disciples. They were trying to tell her to stop, get out. He's not interested in you. And even Jesus looked at her and said, look, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And he was saying, it's not time for me to do miracles for Gentiles yet. But the woman was so persistent. She threw herself down in front of him and worshiped him. And Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Jesus never even said that about Jewish believers. He said it to a Roman centurion and to this Canaanite woman. You know, great is your faith. He said, be it unto you, even as you're believing for. That's faith that fights. Even when he delivered that, what could have been like a racial slur, she didn't get mad. She didn't get upset. She just said, even the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. Just give me some crumbs. Woman, great is thy faith. We're going to learn how to fight with our faith. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years trying to get help from the doctors, saw Jesus, but he was far away, a big crowd around him. But the Bible says she worked her way through the press. They must have had press in those days too, you know, journalists. You know. She pressed her way through the crowd. And everybody was touching Jesus, but she touched Jesus, put a demand on the power of God, put a demand on it, and God received her healing. Remember that? That's faith that fights. Peter walked on the water. Peter knew you couldn't walk on water, but Jesus gave him one instruction that he obeyed. Come. And he walked on water. I can just imagine Peter climbing over the boat and all the other disciples saying, are you crazy? That's crazy. He didn't mean that. You know you can't walk on water. It's a storm. What's going on? But he did. The two blind men, this story, Jesus was passing by. They had to overcome the rebuke and the criticism of friends around them. They're crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And they said, hey, he can't. He doesn't have time. He's already passed. Let it go. The Bible says they cried out all the louder. That's faith that fights. Hallelujah. How about the paralytic man? The paralytic man had friends that helped him fight the obstacles. Couldn't get to Jesus, so what'd they do? Go up on the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered him. You can imagine the owner of the house was screaming at him. You're in trouble. I'm going to sue you. You know, did they have lawyers back then? Maybe not. They probably did, Bill. They had lawyers. Back in Jesus' day, they did, yeah. Well, but they did it anyway, and he got his healing. I want to close on this today because I've said this, and I'm going to say it some more. I believe that the original revival in our Mennonite church that happened, that started this ministry, was numbered among the former reign. And I believe we're in store for the latter rain, and what we see is symbolic of the revival that God's promising, the former and the latter rain together, coming together for a great revival and harvest. I'm believing for that. I'm bullish on America. I believe that there's going to be a falling away, but at the same time, a great harvest. I believe in Isaiah 60 that says the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon a people that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness to people. But the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon somebody. I want to be numbered among that group. How about you? And that glory will be seen from kings and nations that will be drawn to the brightness of our dawning. I'm believing for that. And today I'm really asking for each one of you to renew your covenant with God. Renew your covenant with God. No, be strong in the Lord. Take everything else that you find your strength in and put it lower than the power of God in your life. And I tell you what, God will be involved in your life. The moment that you take charge of something that's in your life, God will just let you be in charge. But if you'll be strong in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where we're at today, church. The battle is raging. We're in a war. And it's going to become more pronounced as we get deeper into these last days. It's not going to get better. I wish I could say that, but we're going to get better. We're going to get stronger. We're going to get happier. The joy of the Lord. We're going to see the separation between light and darkness, and we're going to enjoy being in the light. He that walketh in the light, that's going to be us. Hallelujah.